It's all connected. Flash is messed up there. I don't know. I'm pretty sure we're all connected.
Oh, good. Silencio.
Let me just check over here real quick here on the thing here to be sure we are actually broadcasting.
Silencio.
Yeah, no, we're there. So whatever the problem is, Flash, or you don't hear me because you get silence, it's on your end. Either way, welcome to the It's All Connected show. Right here live on reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz on this Monday, May 24, 2021. How you doing?
Oh, doing good.
All right. Well, this is episode 41 of the It's All Connected program. And today's episode is entitled Surfing the Waves of the Frequencies That Are Us.
Oh,
because every,
that's a lot of words.
Everything I know, isn't it? Everything is frequency, and that would include you and I and everybody else and the rocks and the trees and the birds in the air,
yep.
Or even the birds that are not in the air, for that matter.
Birds aren't real, though.
Birds aren't real?
Birds aren't real.
Oh, I thought they were real because I've eaten chicken and it tasted real.
No. They're bio robots. What do you call them?
Well,
bionics.
Aren't we all bio robots?
Well, birds aren't real. They're drones.
Okay, well then people aren't real either. Anyway, if you're not over here on Real Liberty Media at reallibertymedia.com or rlmradio.xyz, head on over. And you can jump in here to the chat and talk to the great folks.
Well, the chat.
The great folks and the not-so-great folks that are here in the chat. I won't say who the not-so-great ones are, but I think they know. Birds aren't real. Oh, my gosh. All right. This topic here, this thing... that we're talking about, the surfing the waves of the frequencies that are us. Since everything is a frequency, and frequencies come in waves, and the waves, the frequencies flow through us and make us be how we are, right?
It is one way we are all connected, though, isn't it?
Oh, sure. Everything is connected. It's all, you know, I hear it so much. Oh, this is like selling T-shirts and stuff, huh? The make believe that birds aren't real. Okay, then. All right. We'll share it with the chatters. They can go there and get the birds aren't real shirts and hats.
If you're really woke, then you know.
Well, I like that corduroy hat, but it's $40. $40 for a freaking hat.
But you get to spread the word.
Yeah.
That birds aren't real.
Okay.
The drones, man.
Oh, well, humans are drones, birds are drones. Yeah. So, tell me. What's the frequency, Kenneth?
What's the frequency? I don't know. 420, isn't it?
420 is a good frequency.
420 is a good frequency.
432, it would be the proper frequency for music, although they've screwed that. They screwed that up a long time ago because they changed it to 440. Because they didn't like having natural frequencies being the basis for music, whereas I do.
I think it centers back to what seems to be a meta theme for us.
A what theme?
a meet like a meta theme.
Meta.
I keep
oh, okay.
coming back to the idea of how much power and control we as human beings and as beings truly have.
How much do we have?
Well, all the power there is.
Okay, so.
Because you control your own frequency.
You do. And what
you,
is?
You control what frequencies you're going to interact with.
Well, that's true, and you can modify your own frequency through various forms of call it meditation or whatever. But you can.
There are many ways to unlock.
Lower
control.
Or increase your frequency. Yes. I don't really have. I mean, a lot of people throw out a lot of numbers on various frequencies, frequency of the earth, frequency of, you know, the overall universe, frequency of various different things that you can tune into, which I think...
Don't you think we have everybody has their own frequency?
I think so, but I think they're all, you know, they fall within a narrow bandwidth, narrow range. But I think, like, the ultimate chord, the Om. I think that's supposed to bring you into synchronization with your surroundings.
Yes.
And allow you to open new channels of your mind and of your spirit to experience different feelings and.
But all those mantras and yogis, you know, they're all about that frequency.
Yes, they are. Now, have you ever dealt with a yogi?
I do a couple of Kundalini yogis on a regular basis. Mainly because especially one has a really nice frequency. That it just gets me mellow and into tune and kind of cancel out the noise within just a couple of minutes.
Would you care to share that?
Well, it's a Rama Dasa Sase Sohang. But I've really found it to, sometimes meditations can be a wee bit too much.
Yeah.
And these... Just, you know, listening to these frequencies of mantras, I would say, can just really, they're really effective of, you know, snapping you out of one frequency and getting you into another one. Usually a more mellow one.
Well,
one that is more like open and has longer, you know, waves instead of the small itty bitty waves.
Okay.
I tend to function better and be more at ease and more open. And I think that's probably universal with longer waves of frequencies, right?
Yeah.
Slow breaths. And...
Right, a nice...
Yeah.
And
I will get you a link for a nice rendition of the Ramadasa on YouTube.
Okay, all I have is the Rama Lama Ding Dong.
I guess that would work too. We give you another frequency.
Yeah.
But that is the dumb music though, right?
Music is amazing. It's wonderful stuff. It goes through you to fill you, to connect you. So it's a great thing. You know, we've talked. Oh, there you are. Thank you for that.
I think, because Flash asked, can you be happy and sad at the same moment? I think you can have those emotions, but I don't think you can be in an open, calm frequency and in a closed, fast or rapid one at the same time. But I think you can have the emotions happy and sad at the exact same time.
I think you can. I mean, you could be, like, happy for something good that's gone with you, but sad about how that didn't happen for everybody. You know, it's like bittersweet kind of thing, right?
Because when I think of my dad, I tend to go in, you know. But it's not like a depressed frequency. I have an open, nice frequency, but I tend to be, you know, smiling and laughing at all the good stuff, but then still being sad for missing him.
Yeah.
But generally, thinking of my dad makes me happy, but with a twist of sadness.
Right. Well, I tend to be like a low energy, how would I say, soothed.
Yeah.
Kind of mind space most of the time.
You're like the bass in a band, right?
Yeah, I just keep the rhythm.
Slow.
Like a heartbeat.
Yeah. I wish I was that. I tend to be the opposite.
Oh, you don't seem, you know, like a real amped up kind of. I mean, you've met people that are like, they're always like right on the edge of exploding or something, you know.
But I have a hard time sitting down. I have a hard time sitting still. My frequency as per natural is kind of nervous and jiggity and way over everything. I have a high drive. I'm high energy. I do stuff. I don't sit still.
So when you
I knock shit over and I make I'm like a whirlwind.
Like a bull in a china shop.
Yeah. But I do a lot of meditation to get into the other side, you know, to have a little anchor, little base and foundation and everything, right?
Right, right.
And sit down and crochet. That's a, you know.
And does that take you to a lower frequency, vibration?
Yeah, if I crochet or I'm drawing, I'm able to sit still.
Because you can focus on what's in front of you there.
Yeah, but I need to use my hands to do that.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I'm spending a lifetime trying to learn to be in your kind of frequencies.
Well, I mean, it may not be a natural thing for you, so.
No.
So, do you really want to fight your nature?
No, I don't, but I want to learn. I think it's more about taming more than fighting.
Okay.
Taming and accepting, you know. I'm never going to be the slow turtle in the corner. I know that.
Yeah.
But I feel better when I mellow down and I try to focus and when I'm not multitasking for once, like doing a million things at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the kind of person who'll be doing dinner and then I'm thinking, hey, you could use a cake for dessert. And then in the middle of dinner, I'll start a cake too.
Okay.
Just because I'm not doing enough.
Well, you're eating. and if you get up to make a cake, there's at least, 20 minutes prep work there. So your food gets cold, and then you come back to a cold dinner.
No, I'm thinking, you know, then in between steaks and taters and stuff, I can whip up a cake, too.
Okay. You're quite the little whirlwind.
I am.
Yeah, you know.
But I spend my life trying to, because I can see how the slowness and the focus, it tends to lead to deeper learnings, a different kind of observation, mm-hmm. and just, you know, the frequencies unlock something different than what I can unlock with my very fast, high-pitched energy.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I used to work in corporate America, I was more, I guess, at your frequency, at your pace, always going, always doing whatever, focused on, you know, not really focused on any particular thing, but having a bunch of different things within there. And I think being at that higher frequency made me sick. It made me very ill.
I think you are very right.
And so if you're trying to adapt, you know, picture yourself like a pitchfork, you know, and you digging on something and you hear this.
Yeah.
So if you have that vibrating at the wrong frequency, it's not going to come out well. It's going to, not only is the pitch going to sound bad, but it's going to probably also damage the pitchfork.
Yeah, and modern living just tends to drive you up in a higher pitch, right, in faster and faster frequencies.
Right, and I mean, if you look at the things, you know, the crap that the establishment's always pumping out at you, I think it's designed to drive you into those higher frequencies because
yeah.
they know that makes people ill.
Used to do time, I still do that, like time experiments to see how fast I will do something, then I time it, right? And I noticed that when I slow down and I try to do things slow, I end up being faster at a task.
Okay.
Than when I'm just pushing ahead and trying to get it done as fast as possible.
But so... slower equals faster.
Because you're more focused and you make less errors and you make less waste.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which is an interesting concept to me. That's why I do experiments about it, right?
And do you document these experiences? Experiments?
Well, just the mental notes. I, you know. So if you're doing a chore that you're doing over and over that you know, okay, this, I'm usually... between 11 and 13 minutes of doing the dishes, right?
Right.
And then when I sometimes I make experiments, and instead of just rushing the dishes, I'm going to take it slow, you know, make a plan, focus, and just move ahead. And then I'm usually in between like 10, maybe 9 and 11 minutes.
Huh. I don't believe I have ever timed how long it takes me to do dishes.
I don't know, it makes it more fun. I hate doing the dishes.
<All right.
laughs> Just things that you do, that you have to do, that you don't find fun, I tend to get a spin on it.
Oh, yeah, well, I never, I mean, I don't have that many dishes, I'm just one person, but I try to do them, you know, or I do them, actually, at least once a day. And it's generally just before I make dinner. So I'll have maybe two plates and a cup or two cups, and then the coffee pot to clean. You know, just a few things. Like I said, I don't do much. And then maybe a pan, a couple pans,
yeah.
Depending on what I made that day, you know.
We got coffee gnomes in this house.
Coffee gnomes?
Yeah.
How, they steal your coffee?
No, when you don't look, they come out and they take a bunch of cups and put coffee in them. Because one would think that we only use like 2-3 cups a day, but because of the coffee gnomes, I don't know where they come from.
Oh.
It's like 10 cups a day.
Now, do you do you have garden gnomes as well?
Yes, yes. I put a couple, because if you don't, there, you know, a gnome is going to move in, and then you have to feed him all December, or he's going to fuck up your harvest next year.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing about gnomes. If they move in, they move in your attic, right? And then you got to feed them all December.
Let them starve. I didn't tell those gnomes to move in.
But then they get pissy, and then they're going to fuck up your entire summer harvest with their frequencies.
I see. And tell me this. Your garden gnomes, have you ever seen them move?
No. That's because our gnomes are not idiots.
But have you ever come out and said, hey, I left that gnome over there, now it's over here?
No, but I have come out into the kitchen and I go, I didn't spend 10 coffee cups drinking coffee today, and I know Flash didn't, and yet here there are 10 coffee cups dirty.
Well, I only use one coffee cup, and I just, you know.
I think it's me. I tend to be the coffee cup user.
Okay.
As
yeah.
I said, I have a all over the place kind of energy.
Right, you're one of them. One of them.
One of the klutzy everywhere people. Yeah. And I see how much more calm and less wasteful and focused you people are.
You people?
Yeah,
hey, what are you people. What are you saying, you people?
The mellow people. The reptilians.
I'm not a reptilian.
Okay.
I'm pure simian.
Oh, then the mellow simians.
All right.
And I figure, because that's the whole thing, right, though, that I figure it's all about frequency.
Have you ever been to a zoo?
Yeah.
Okay. At the zoo, did they have lowland gorillas?
I would say yes.
They're the big guys.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I relate to them. They just kind of sit there and they observe and they let the other apes and monkeys run around doing weird stuff. And they're just checking stuff out, making sure everything's cool.
I know.
And if something ain't cool, they step up and fix it and they sit back down.
I do think that the world needs all kinds of frequencies, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I'm still going to try to tame and control mine.
Have you ever tried to tune into the frequency of, say, the moon?
No, I haven't sat down and sort of meditated on the moon frequency.
Okay, or any other kind of celestial object, you know.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Whatever that. The sun is a good one. It's got a nice, strong...
I think that's what the Rama Dasa mantra does. I think it breathes out and it gets energy from the universe and it extracts it back in, and then you let it flow through yourself and you breathe it back out.
Okay. All right.
So how did you get unwind from that frequency when you were working into? Did it just happen?
When I decided I was leaving California, getting away from that lifestyle, and I see before I moved out here, I visited out here a couple times, just to this little town where these people are, and I noticed the differences in the people from San Diego, huge big city, to Moriarty, tiny little city. And the way people acted and the way they interacted with you, it was like, wow, this is great out here. This is these people. It wasn't even like the same race of animal because the people out here, they were just, I mean, they were just friendlier and more easygoing. And in San Diego, they just as soon spit on you as look you in the eye, which I'm sure plenty of them do.
were you so, that kind of person, though, too, when you were in the big city?
Well, to some degree, yeah. I mean, you know, because you're always wound up from doing whatever it is you do. Just driving on the road, and it drives me mad. Because the way people are out there on the road, people are really rude. People talk about how rude people are on the internet because it's anonymous or whatever. But you're driving in the city and in traffic, people are ruder than shit, ruder than I've ever seen on the internet. And so I think it's just the whole environment there versus the environment here. I got to say that before I ever decided to even look at, leaving or being someplace other than San Diego, when I was 18, me and a buddy of mine were going to take a trip from California, from San Diego, out to Florida, where his parents lived. But when I drove through New Mexico back all those years ago, I felt something. I felt home. I felt this is where I belong. Now, of course, it didn't happen for, 35 5 years or whatever. But I always had that connection after driving through New Mexico that first time.
Is that why you chose New Mexico? Or?
It is, yeah. No, it was the this place. It was calling to me. It was my name was on the wind. It was in my ear. It was saying, "Come home, come home. You belong here in this place." And I'm not sure Moriarty is the place that it wanted me to be. I mean, because when that trip was on I-10, which is in the very southern part of New Mexico. And I'm in the central part, so I
but
can't.
It's still the coolest city name ever, though.
I watched a movie last night. It was called The Guest, and it was filmed right here in Moriarty.
Ooh.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting to see.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't see, they showed. Some footage there right in front of it. It's Moriarty High School.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it and I was like, that's not our high school. There's no way that's our high school because it seemed too big. It seemed like there was too many people, too many students at that place. So I said, well, it says it's Moriarty, but they just made that up. But later on I found out it was indeed Moriarty. That's available.
It's still very exotic to me.
Very what?
Still very exotic to me. Moriarty.
Yeah.
It's just Professor Moriarty.
Well, it is, but it's not. It's not based. It's not based on him, but it's based on a dude. I believe his name was Michael Moriarty, and he was traveling from someplace back east to the western part. And when he got to this area where the city of Moriarty is now, he's the one that started the town. He said he felt in this place a healing energy, a force that made him want to build a town right here. So
maybe you're on a ley line of some kind.
Maybe. I don't know what it's on, but. It's cool.
I made it one of my goals to learn, because I think with a lot of practice and knowledge and understanding, I might be able to learn to not let my frequency be dictated by others, and not let my actions and my feelings and thoughts be affected by others.
Yeah, I think you can experience other people's frequencies without having them
interfere.
Yeah, I was gonna. It's not affect, because they will affect you, but
yes,
but they
but
don't
interfere is the better word.
Yeah, much better word.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I think
that's
what I'm trying to learn, is to not let my actions and my emotions and my thoughts and my energies be interfered too much by others, and especially not to be controlled or dictated by others, to let others do what they do and then myself do what I do.
Right. Yeah, that's good. I mean, you can't let people, just because they're all buzzing at a higher frequency, a frequency that would be irritating to you. You can't let them put you into the mode that they're in.
Okay.
So, now Cowboy Tech points out that barefoot in a garden can be healthy in a healthy garden. Which, okay, I'll buy that. But what if it's just dirt? What if there's no garden there? I think that's still a healthy thing, barefoot on the dirt, garden or no.
I was barefoot in my garden today, because I am as soon as the sun comes out.
Yeah, you.
I do have my wooden shoes too, of course.
Shoes? You're not.
I have wooden shoes. Clocks. What do you call them? Clocks?
Yeah, you're not Dutch.
I wear. What do you call them?
I don't know. Clogs, I guess. That's fine. Whatever. Wooden shoes. Mm-hmm.
Wooden shoes.
Those look extremely uncomfortable.
No, they are not.
I mean, it's a chunk of wood on your foot.
They are very nice for garden work. They're the best for garden work.
Okay. I mean, they seem terrible. I mean, there's no flex to it. It's just
but
a
you're
stiff
using them for gardening.
Wooden shoe.
They're perfect for gardening.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I will never attempt to replicate that. I do hate footwear. I'm barefoot 99% of the time. And I
do like walking barefoot in the grass, though.
Yeah. Put shoes on when I go to, like, you know, post office or grocery store or wherever. I'll put shoes on for that. But around the house, yeah, barefoot. If I go into the garage, I have flip-flops that I'll put on for that.
You can't do garden work in flip-flops, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely you can. You can't do some things. I mean, you can't, like, use a shovel or a lawnmower or things like that. I mean, you could, but that's stupid because you might chop something off. But I have regular shoes for that. I also have good boots, too, that I can use for, you know, serious garden work.
See, that's where the wooden shoes come in. They're handy. They're right there to just slip on, and you're always wearing them. You'll never step in anything. You'll never, you know.
Well, would you consider them similar to like a sandal or a flip-flop where they could just slide off of your foot at any time?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I think that could be a problem if you're out there, you know, digging or whatever.
Oh, that's a matter of practice.
Okay. Got to curl your toes in your flip flop.
Yeah, I can't wear flip flops.
Okay, what am I getting here? Commerce. What are you buying?
You're getting wooden shoes.
Oh, those things. Okay, is that wood?
Yeah.
All right. Doesn't look like wood to me. Looks like leather. Okay.
Well, that's leather on top, and then it's a wooden sole you're walking on.
Okay, but is the foot part, is there wood in there?
The thing you're stepping on is wood, and then you have leather on top of it.
Okay, but so there's no wood on the top part?
No.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's all right, I guess.
Yeah, that's my regular garden outfit. I would say, though, that the whole garden thing, right? Because I didn't know. I never had a garden before we moved up here.
Mm-hmm.
And for each year that passes, I spend more and more time in my garden, and I get more and more done. And I get more and more in tune with it. And I'm telling you, that's a perfect way for me to get into a way lower, way more open and mellow frequency. It's weeding or... right now I'm doing carrots. I've never really done carrots before, and it's really fun to see the little carrot tops pop up. I'm also doing spinach, which is also really fast. Like within the first week, you can see the spinaches, right?
Okay.
And it's just really mellow work. And somehow that you're outside, you're growing something, and you're still using your body, right? That to me is a brilliant combination for getting into some different frequencies.
That is good, yeah. No, I mean, because obviously you have your frequency. The earth, the dirt, has its own frequency. And then the individual plants that you're growing have theirs.
Yeah. I'm doing radishes. And they're just super fast. They're like a couple of weeks, and you go from a little seed to a full-grown radish you can eat. That's really fun. And you can just do them all over the summer. So just every other week, plant a little more and a little more.
Okay. I'm not a fan of radishes, but okay.
It doesn't matter. You grew it. Now eat it. I don't know. I said, good on the cheese, you know, like piece of rye bread and some cheese and some sliced radish. Right?
All right. Yeah, fine. Whatever works for you, really, you know.
I think it's the process. It's the fun process of making a hole, putting in a seed. A couple of weeks later, you go out and get yourself a radish.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun process, and it seems to do something for my spirit, at least, that gets in tune with stuff in a different way.
Right. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's good.
You gave up on gardening. And
I didn't give up on it. Well, there's things I need to do, and I'm not quite.
Yeah, well, if it's not there, it's not there.
Yeah, I'm not quite ready. But I haven't given up on it. I will still garden.
I would say you probably make beautiful strawberries where you live, right?
Well, you would think, but my last ones never. I mean, they sprung up, but then they never really got any further than that.
No.
So I never got a strawberry out of those. Yeah, I know. I had a lot of tomatoes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I had a couple watermelons out of. There should have been a lot of watermelons, but I only got a couple.
I wish I could do more watermelons.
Why can't you?
We don't have. It's not nearly warm enough for long enough here for watermelons.
Oh, okay. Not too much. I was trying to grow some lettuce, but only one of the lettuce things grew, and then it turned into a big seed stalk, so it wasn't like eatable lettuce. But I did harvest the seeds, so I have a whole bunch of lettuce seeds.
Nice.
So whatever.
I think it's about finding the stuff that would just. I don't know, we started out asking about frequencies, right? And I don't think it's the numbers that are so important. But maybe there are some more profound or ancient frequencies
mm-hmm.
that you can, that somehow taps, that will unlock if you tap into them, I think.
Okay, well, ancient frequencies. I mean, are not all frequencies?
It sounds weird. Yeah, I know, but maybe there are some that just put you in tune with something that would be more elementary, though.
Sure.
I don't know how to put that. There are definitely some things that when you do them, you can feel. Old learning or old knowledge unlock, right?
Right.
Like hanging out with an old tree or listening to a duck laugh at you, right? It unlocked something.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much learning that you're never going to get just by listening to somebody else trying to tell you. There's so much learning that has nothing to do with words or books or written down or theories or even algorithms, right?
Oh, yeah. You have to experience it and feel it. You have to feel. You have to be open to feeling the frequencies of whatever object or activity or...
You see, all that knowledge that we know, but that we don't have any words for, that we struggle to find words for, or that we have metaphors to describe, right?
Right.
But you can't describe the actual profound knowledge. It's just there. And once you know it or remember it, it's there.
Okay.
But you can't, that's the whole thing about, because again, I only have that reality that my being is experiencing by interacting with the frequencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can spend my whole life trying to convey or describe or put words to what my being is sensing or seeing in this reality.
Right.
And I can never know if it's the same as yours. Just because we have some words.
Yeah, I mean, okay, but sometimes, I mean, you can feel the other person's frequencies, right? You could sync up with them.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's usually when you don't have to describe everything, when you give up on that, and you can feel that the images or the way we see things without the words are the same.
Right.
It's like I can't explain blue to you, and you can't explain blue to me, but we both know what blue is. But we don't know if blue are the same.
No, there's a lot of different blues.
And even if we look at the same blue, we're never going to know if we see and if the blue is the same to you and me, because we only have the same word to describe it, which is blue.
Right.
You can't describe blue without using blue, right? Then you would just be listing up things that are blue. But you can't describe blue.
No. I mean, you could through frequencies. You could say the light that is allowing you to see that color is at a specific frequency.
But that deeper understanding of when you look at blue, and you just know when you have this knowledge, and you can put metaphors on it, right? You have all these feelings and all this knowledge and all these thoughts that just go into the color blue. But all you can ever do is, you can't share that. It's yours.
Right. And so do you wonder...
And I think that kind of understand, that kind of knowledge, you know, as blue being a metaphor on that kind of knowledge, the knowledge you can't explain, you just know.
So do you ever wonder, I hear that dogs are colorblind. Have you heard that?
Yeah, which is fun, because Anna reacts to orange like an insane idiot.
Okay. So you got to wonder when they're seeing the blue sofa or whatever it is, what they're seeing, what is that, how does that appear? How do they experience that?
But it's the experience part. It's all that experience knowledge. You can't describe that, because we're back to language, and we can't share an understanding of a word. Not on a deeper experience level.
Right.
If you haven't seen blue ever before in your life, I can't explain to you what blue is.
No. No, you couldn't. I mean, you could say these things are blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you can't see blue, you're never going to understand that.
Yeah, no, it means nothing, right? So it's like if somebody was blind from birth, and I've heard that these people that are blind from birth, they still, like, you know, they have imaginations and dreams and things where they see things, right? In those,
yeah.
So you got, are they seeing blue in their dreams?
Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Or people that are deaf,
How would they know if they're seeing blue?
How would they know? Right. How could they describe it?
Because you can't. And it's that kind of, that is the knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think that's what I'm going to spend my life trying to understand and expand. It's the knowledge that you have to, you know, your ceiling can explain it to you because it doesn't use words.
Right.
So it's basically a deeper understanding that you're trapped with because you can't relate. You can tell metaphors. You can use metaphors and images and pictures to try to convey that kind of wisdom or knowledge, right?
Sure.
But that's all you have is the metaphors.
Right. Well, what you would need to do, and I just think of this because, like deaf people. Deaf people, they don't know what music is or voices or anything. But they can feel the vibration because it's amplified in some way. So
yeah, I once brought a deaf guy to a wood rave party in the middle of the woods.
Okay.
And he heard music, or he felt music for the first time in his life, a major rave party. And I found him way down next to the speakers, almost up against the speakers, dancing on drugs. I mean, fucked out of his mind, alone in the woods.
Well, no, that's good.
Me and my friends met him at a bar, and he was with other deaf people, right? Mm-hmm. And I know a itty-bitty amount of sign language in Danish, right? So I
right.
just said hi to him. We bought him a beer. He started having fun. We hung out with him. He kind of ditched his old friends. And we went to this big rave party in the middle of the woods somewhere, really far away from everything. It was, I don't know, 4 or 5 in the morning at that time. We got really drunk. He got really drunk. He did a bunch of drugs out there. When we left, I was trying to say, okay, are you going to, I'm going home now. So if you want to come home to Copenhagen, I'll get you right home, right? And he was like, no, I am dancing. So he stayed out there. I've never seen anything like it. He got liberated that night.
Terrific.
In the woods.
That's terrific. Anyway.
And when we left, some young girl had found him and was teaching him all about rave music.
I'll bet she was.
on a summer morning in the woods, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, what I was wondering is, since people that lack that particular sense, the sense of hearing, can feel the music because it's amplified, could a blind person feel a color? I mean, let's say you had a thing there with three dots, the primary colors, red, blue, and yellow. And if they put their hand on it, could they feel the frequency of that color?
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Because, I mean, it's there, right?
Yeah.
When light hits it, it reflects back so your eyes can determine, okay, that's that whatever color that is. So could they feel it? Feel the color.
Feel the color.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Right.
I read about some autistic people that when they do math, they assign different colors to different numbers.
Sure.
And that's how they're able to do math really, really fast.
Right.
It's because instead of doing math, they're just watching a color blend.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very abstract form of math, though, right?
Well, it's just a way of seeing it. I don't think, I mean, it's not necessarily that the math is abstract. It could be, but it's the way of seeing.
It's an abstract perception for somebody like me with a small grain brain.
Oh,
I do not see numbers in color scrimmage, I'm telling you.
Do you are you more visual or more tactile? Or how do you if you have a problem that you're trying to solve for whatever, and you most of that work's done in your head. So
because I'm an extrovert thinker, so none of that goes on in my head.
All of
that goes on paper, or on a board, or in a conversation.
Okay. I tend to have a lot of imagery in my head that helps me.
Since you're an introvert thinker.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an extrovert thinker. I need to express things. I express things as I think them.
Do you wave your hands around a lot?
A lot. I just wave my hands as I said that.
So you're like...
No, so I tend to draw out stuff and break down stuff and write down and put them in boxes.
Okay. All right. So I wonder how, like, if there was a way to measure, to gauge the frequencies of individuals, you know, at a particular moment, because that varies, of course.
So instead of an IQ or an EQ, you'd have a FQ. What's your frequency quotient?
Sure. For your FQ.
Your FQ.
Or FU, as the case may be.
Yes. So if you ever thought about it, because if deaf people grew up just around only the other deaf people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would they ever know they were deaf?
I don't know. They may have a hard time communicating.
But if they were always, if deaf people always, if they never had hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And their whole history and their whole people never had hearing, they wouldn't know they were deaf, though, would they?
I guess not. I mean, they, you know, they wouldn't think of hearing as something they were missing, because
so
no...
you just think what kind of senses we don't know we're missing. How are we impaired?
Well, we're impaired in a lot of ways, because they I think a lot of the stuff that you're born with certain capabilities and it's taught out of you.
Like maybe, you know, one of the senses we're missing is the understanding of frequencies, of sensing them.
Yeah, of sensing them. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Because, you know, science teaches you that unless you can see it and measure it and replicate it, then it doesn't exist. It's not real.
No.
Which
when I'm out walking the doggy, right, she walks with her head in the ground. She has this big old nose, and she's a sniffer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, she's just sniffing, and her head is in the ground. She's barely even looking up, right?
Right.
And I sometimes chill out about the idea of how she's seeing the world, because she's definitely sensing it or sniffing it a lot more than she's seeing it.
Oh, yeah, sure. They have a, you know, very strong sense of smell.
And maybe, it's the same about, because humans are very visual, right?
Yes.
We tend to see the world.
Right.
As opposed to sensing it or smelling it or, well, we feel it a little, but we're way more visual.
Far more, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But... if you intake some substances, you can, I do believe, at that point, begin to feel the color, feel the environment, the frequencies of it.
I think you can learn that to be more...
Oh, yeah, sure. You can do it without those, but those help you along. Those take you down that road in an easier way.
Mm. I think there is a lot of knowledge unlocked in that.
Of course. That's, you know, the whole mind-expanding portion.
All that kind of knowledge, like the color blue, that you can't write in a book. Because if you tried to, right,
mm-hmm.
you would end up spending the whole book explaining what every word means, because you would need to use every word as a metaphor.
Right.
It would be a mess. I don't know. I tend to think sometimes my dear husband is right when he says that language tend to fuck up conversations about really important stuff.
Yeah, no, I think he's on to something there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get into arguments about words, right?
Yeah.
About we sit there and argue about meanings of words.
Sure.
And I don't know.
Yeah, it's just semantics and
stuff. Not very enlightening, though. But the semantics is interesting because that's where you try to understand things, right? I don't know.
Right. Understanding the usage by, you know, whatever it's being used in, whether it's talking or writing or however else it's perceived. But yeah, you definitely have to. I like playing with words, you know.
Yeah.
it's kind of fun to do.
I don't know. I think we just doomed as human beings because we got the gift of language, right? And it doomed us to this forever search for consensus and understanding.
Yeah. Well, the
big thing in life is to be understood and have people agree with you.
I think the English language is so flexible in so many different ways that it screws a lot of stuff up. Now, I don't know. I mean, like Chinese, Mandarin, they've got like 40,000 different characters that are used. So maybe
I think
there's...
the English language has 3 or 4 times as many words as the Danish one.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking that, you know, with that many characters in your language, it may be more precise. So, if I was to say the word there, and it was done in Chinese, they would probably understand which there that was. Yeah, you know, because there's, you know, there as in a place, there as in belonging to, or there as in that person's. So, and there are probably other uses. What the hell is that? Oh, Jerry-O. He's pinging me. I'm trying to do my show here, man.
He's telling you, you got 3 minutes left, man. Wrap it up.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, Gary, how you doing out there? Oh. Pinging me during the show. Anyway.
Ooh.
Gary L, by the way, is really good with frequency. Him and Larry Woods, another frequency hound, Rob Works, he's in on it. Flash, who used to do that show with Larry and Rob, I don't know how well Flash is tuned into frequency. He seems to be more reality-based. When I say reality-based, I mean... see, feel, measure. Not so much feel, but see and hear and measure.
No, he is not.
He doesn't seem to be too esoteric or...
He is the neo-druid.
Really?
Yes, he sees life in way different than both you and me.
All right. Well, I never pictured Flash as a druid. This is going to alter my perception.
He's the neo-druid.
Does he wear like a hood and a robe? Hood and robe and go out and...
He has a robe that I sometimes get it off him and I quickly wash it. But he has a robe with little moose reindeer on it, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Flash the druid. I like that.
I don't know. He sees something different. First of all, his eyesight is not very good, so he doesn't see very clearly.
Yeah.
So he's in a way more tune with other senses.
Right.
And he's like he's got a chaos energy and frequency about him it's really amazing to see. Even the fire, when you do a fire pit, react to it.
Does he dance around the fire pit?
Sometimes. He is the master of the fire pit. He taught me all about fire.
Okay. Fire has some interesting frequencies to it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Very much. So we just rebuilt the fire pit. Now it's a gigantic hangaround.
Cool.
Yeah. me and my friend Christine, we did that this summer. It was fun.
So are you going to go to, like, Stonehenge at midsummer and dance around?
No, we do St. Hens, though, on solstice, right?
Yeah.
The eve of solstice is when they do big fires all around the coast and burn off witches.
All right, well, it's coming up pretty quick here. We got less than a month until June 20.
St. Hens. And after that, there's no more picking rhubarbs. You pick all the rhubarbs you need until St. Hens. Then it's done with the rhubarbs.
So you make rhubarb pie or what?
Yes. But if you don't touch them after St. Hens, then they will come back even bigger and better next year.
Oh.
That's the general rule about rhubarbs.
All right. Huh? Cool. Anyway, we're out of time.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening to a wacko. Yeah.
And if you figure out what your proper frequency is, dial it in. Tune in. Become
one. I
would say
if you figure out something that gives you a frequency that seems to calm and soothe you and makes you feel good, start doing that some more. Figure out what that is and do that.
And thanks for the link there, Cowboy Tech, on the scientific views of frequency and harmonics.
Thank you very much, Cowboy.
And we'll be back next Monday with another episode of this show. What else? Anything in today?
Well, Cowboy said tune in for thoughts about frequencies. Ba-dum-dum.
Yeah. Tune in.
Yeah.
Tune in. All right. Let's see. Thursday, Moose and I come on at 7 p.m. Eastern with Free Your Mind. Which, by the way, we do a pretty good show. I don't know if you ever heard the Free Your Mind show.
I do.
We do a darn good show.
Darn good show. No,
yeah. And I think Vinny's coming back. By the way, Vinny should be back from fishing now. But he's supposed to be back on Friday to wrap up his season of American Dissonance. So anyway, check schedule on RealLibertyMedia.com, RLM
and
Radio.
And make the work table on Saturday.
Yeah, Dork Table, that's right. We got the new guy, the Guardian, joining Flash on the Dork Table. So that'll be cool. We heard the Guardian last, I don't know what day it was, Friday? He did a show last week. I forget what day it was. Anyway, it's up there on the website if you want to check it out.
He is a neo-druid, too, I would say.
Okay, cool. Yeah. He seemed like a good guy. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right, well,
tune in and learn frequencies and do something that's fun.
Stay in tune with the universe.
Oh, yes.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Peace.
Be safe.